Well, let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Every time I read one of the Judgment Day stories in the Bible, there's a Johnny Cash album playing in the back of my mind. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him God's gonna cut him down. In the liner notes of one of his albums, Cash once said, I love songs about horses, railroads, land, Judgment Day, family, hard times, whiskey, courtship, marriage, adultery, separation, murder, war, prison, rambling, damnation, home, salvation, death, pride, humor, piety, rebellion, patriotism, larceny, determination, tragedy, rowdiness, heartbreak, and love, and mother, and God. I listened to a lot of those Johnny Cash songs this week as I've turned over this story in my mind. You might know Johnny Cash as the Man in Black. He looked like an undertaker riding into town, a far cry from his bedazzled contemporary, Elvis Presley. Cash wrote songs for people who were already living their funeral, people who lived in constant sorrow and suffering in an unforgiving world. Because Cash knew what it was like to suffer. He was born in a shack in Arkansas to immigrant parents who scraped by on sharecropping. J.R., as Cash was called growing up, helped his family survive, clearing out land 6 days a week, trying to make room for something to grow. He started picking cotton at age 6, and at night sat at his mother's feet while she taught him songs from the hymnal. Like most people at the time, he was at church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night. But the most formative event in Cash's childhood was the death of his brother Jack. Jack was the golden child, the older brother who seemed to do everything right. He died after an accident cutting fence posts on an unguarded table saw. And a few weeks later, J.R. gave his life to Jesus, walked right up to the front of the church and asked to be baptized. If you know anything about the rest of the story of Johnny Cash, you know it's not so simple after that. Johnny does not walk the line. He records an album, he goes on tour, and he cheats on his wife, he starts taking pills. He ends up getting arrested, and he's addicted to drugs and alcohol for decades. His life falls apart, he's estranged from his children, he gets a divorce, and for a year he's in a constant fog of opioids. One interviewer described the scene of Cash's emergence from this period of destruction and chaos that is just amazing. One day in 1967, strung out on drugs and in a nihilistic funk, Cash wandered into a Tennessee cave called Nickajack Cavern, and crawled as far as he could for 2 or 3 hours until his flashlight batteries wore out and he lay down, presumably to die. But then, lying there in the pitch darkness, he had an epiphany from God. It would be God rather than Cash that controlled his destiny and would choose the time for him to die. Cash resumed crawling blindly until he felt a breeze, followed it, and writhed his way out of the cave's mouth, where he found his mother and June Carter waiting with a basket of food, having discovered his Jeep at the entrance of the cave. It's always been fascinating to me that Cash was so interested in songs about Judgment Day, because he's a creature of grace. And for all the warnings, I never have found his songs moralistic or preachy. That's because they're not songs from a pious do-gooder. They're songs about an old sinner saved by grace, someone who has been through some terrible things. His songs about life on the wrong side of the tracks are honest, even graphic, about the troubles people face when they get caught up in lust and violence, because that was his trouble. He's writing about songs of an insider who managed to make his way out. I read an article about Cash that he said all his songs were actually about one thing, a longing for freedom. Some people got it the right way, and some people got it the wrong way and regretted it. But in the end, that's what everyone's looking for, a way to get out of their situation, out of the things keeping them back, the shackles of poverty or anger or hatred. And so Cash wrote this song, When the Man Comes to Town, the one we heard him sing at the beginning of the service. He had it after he had this dream. And in that dream, the Queen of England is sitting on the floor, and she says, Johnny Cash, you're like a thorn tree in a whirlwind. I kept thinking about that, how vivid that was. And then I thought, maybe that's in the Bible, Cash told a friend. So I found it. Something about whirlwinds and thorns. And that's where the song started. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goes forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. He was remembering the words from Jeremiah 30, 32. When I hear Johnny Cash sing, it's from a place of someone who knows that life, for pain to fall upon the head of the wicked. Cash wrote songs about a life where sinners and saints are all mixed together, trying to figure out life, trying to get it right. And Cash is like each of us. We're both sheep and goats at the same time, sometimes headed one way and sometimes headed the other. And so it's Jesus with the voice of Johnny Cash that I hear in reading today's scripture. It's a story about the continuation of someone's life into eternal life, the stretching out of things, about how the path you're on will get you where you're going. It's as simple as that. Were you surprised by what you heard today? Let's listen to it again, a little bit closer. So there's this group called the Righteous. I think it was you all. I was unfortunately not on that side. You're entering this world of blessedness, the reign of God. That is an extension of your life on earth. And what makes these people righteous? Was it that they were part of the right denomination? Or that they had the correct spiritual practices? Did they believe perfectly, have all the faith facts lined up in a row? No. They saw people who were thirsty, and they gave them something to drink. And when someone was lost and afraid, they welcomed that person. They took care of sick people, and they visited people in prison. They knew they had to do all these good deeds in order to get in good with Jesus, in order to earn a reward in heaven. No, that's not why they did it. They had no idea what they were doing, we read in the scriptures. That's the twist of this story. These righteous people, they have no clue that Jesus has anything to do with their actions. There's not an ulterior motive. There's no weighing scales of good and bad deeds to make sure you pass the test. They weren't trying to score religious brownie points. None of that. Righteous people care about other people for no reason at all. I'm not convinced that Jesus is referring to saintly people who live these extreme self-giving lives of voluntary poverty. Instead, I suspect that Jesus is showing us what a good life looks like. It's not a burden to make your life among people who show you what Jesus is like. That's actually what freedom looks like. That's the good stuff. That's what life is all about. If you're in relationships of care and mutuality with people who are incarcerated, with people who are hungry, with people who are sick, you got to meet Jesus. You met love incarnate, God's love made flesh with us and for us. And the opposite is true. People caught up in selfishness and greed and excess, who constantly want more, walking by the neediest in the world and scoffing, those people are already in hell. Johnny Cash writes songs that are so good because he's lived a lot of that hell. His family broke apart because of his addiction to pills. He got in a lot of trouble during those years. But when I hear Johnny sing, "God's gonna cut you down," or Jesus preaching the story that might make our eyes a little bit wider, I hear a warning, a red flashing siren from people who know how bad life can be when you are drowning in self-deception, in your ignorance of your neighbor's suffering, or our desire to look out for ourselves, even if it means that you run other people down. And to be forgiven for hurting people we love, that's where eternal life starts. To let that forgiveness send you out to discover people who are lost and alone, that is the very center of God's reign. Once Johnny Cash was asked why he was so keen to do prison concerts, like the one that produced that famous Folsom Prison album, he told a reporter, "There's three different kinds of Christians. There's preaching Christians, there's church playing Christians, there's practice in Christians. If you take the words of Jesus literally and apply them to your everyday life, you discover the greatest fulfillment you'll ever find. Playing songs in prison, giving incarcerated people joy and hope and laughter and songs, that was the reign of God for Cash, being on the way already of God's love. He knew the other side too. So I can take a sermon from Johnny Cash seriously, one that reminds me to stick near to Jesus' life, because that's where I'm going to meet Jesus. That sounds like a pretty good life to me. There's one album of Cash's that I'm particularly fond of. It's when he recorded of the songs that he heard his mother sing from her hymnal, all these memories he had of sitting at her feet. It's just Johnny and his guitar. And near the end, three from the end of the album, is one of my favorites, the old gospel song, "Softly and Tenderly." The words are, "Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's calling for you and for me. Come home, come home. You who are weary, come home." That's the other side of this coin, the mirror of today's fiery words of warning. Jesus is calling us out of the hell of the destruction that is refusing to love our neighbor. And he's calling us back into this life of love. Sometimes that comes out as a shout, and other times it's found in the whisper of an old-time gospel song. Come home. Come home. You who are weary, come home. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home.